we're real happy to have Lori Nauman joining us. She is a DNR information officer, non-game wildlife, and she's going to talk with us about the second year of the DNR's Eagle Cam, and that's live footage of an eagle's nest near downtown St. Paul. Lori, welcome to the Roadhouse.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. You know, I was just talking to you. You were still driving home. Did you manage to get in your house?
I am. I'm safe, and I've already let the dogs out.
Oh, wow.
Just-in-time radio, we call that.
You're quick.
Exactly. Yeah.
She was a block away when I got around the phone, so that's great.
Thank you.
Yeah, as you were hearing, both Ann and I on separate computers are watching the eagles and the eaglet being fed. This has got to be pretty exciting for you.
It really is very exciting for us, especially since we had a failure in the nest last year. So we're very excited that they've actually successfully hatched, and it looks like egg number 3 might be hatching soon.
What happened last year? You mentioned that you had a failure as far as the eggs were concerned.
Yeah, well, it was really interesting. Last year was our first year having the camera up in the tree. We knew about this nest, and we had it pinpointed as the one that we were going to put the camera in because of its location and convenience, and so we figured out the timing that it would need to be put in somewhere in December and January, because that would be well before any time that the eagles would be displaying any courtship behavior or using the nest at all for that, and well before they would lay their eggs. So we got the nest, the camera up in the nest on the 28th of January, and then we left, and they were working behind the scenes on the IT and getting all of the web streaming hooked up and getting everything running, and when we turned on the camera for the first time on January 10th of last year, there were 3 eggs in the nest. This is way, way, way early for eagles to have eggs. I mean, it's never heard of. And in fact, many people have said that is the earliest recorded eagle egg laying in Minnesota. So we think that that was extremely pertinent in the production process, because during the month of January and February last year, there were several very cold days, and the parents were incubating, but there was at least one day when it was very cold, below zero, well below zero, and both birds were gone from the nest for 20 minutes at a time. And so we're pretty sure that that's when the eggs must have frozen.
So no little guys came out last year?
Nope. They incubated and incubated and incubated for about 60 days. And after about the 40th day, we knew they were not going to hatch. But like this year, we're not going to intervene. This is a natural process. And we just watched and watched until the first egg broke open and there was nothing there. And then the second one and then the third one. And then finally, they left the nest and went on to be, you know, do their eagle thing after the third egg broke. So
yeah, it's a little happier time this year, as we're seeing right now, aren't we, Ann?
Yeah, it's great. Lori, I have a question. I know you can't tell us exactly where this nest is, but and you said it's near downtown St. Paul. How far is the camera from the nest?
It's about 10 feet.
Okay.
The folks that are watching the webcam can look on that webpage. If you scroll down below the window where you're watching it live, there's some still photos. Mm-hmm. And there is one still photo of the tree and the nest and the camera. And so you can kind of get a visual.
Aha, I see that now.
Yeah, so you can kind of see how far away it is. You figure that nest is probably, probably at least 5 feet across. So you can get kind of an idea of how big the nest itself is. And then the camera. It is a security camera. And so it is one of those large security cameras. So it's a little misleading. The photo, it doesn't look as big as it actually is. So, mm-hmm.
And you mentioned last year putting it up, you know, before courtship season so as not to interfere. But did they notice that you were doing this, or how did you put it up without the eagles being disturbed?
Well, when we went there to put the camera up, I said, you know, if the birds are around, or especially if they're in the nest, we're going to abort and we're not going to do this year. So we got there and there were no birds anywhere to be seen. So we climbed, and the bucket truck went up, and the nest was covered with snow, and there were no tracks or anything in it. So it was pretty clear that we had a safe time, you know, it was safe to put the camera up without disturbing the birds at all, and they were nowhere around, and no one, you know, a lot of times when birds are already starting that courtship behavior, they will try to defend their nest, and they'll come by and either squawk at you or swoop down at you, things like that. They were nowhere that day. So, in fact, it took several hours. It took about 8 hours to actually get that camera up and secure, and not once did we see eagles around. So we figured, well, you know, it was perfect timing. Well, obviously, they had already been courting and you know, planning for their little family because they had eggs, you know, 10 days later.
That was very lucky that they weren't there.
They probably feel like NSA has found them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's sort of the, you know, the good thing about it is that we didn't have to disturb them at all. And so that folks know, we do not intervene and we do not interact with these birds whatsoever. We put the camera up, and that was 2 years ago, and that's the last time any of us have been to the nest. We don't, you know, we don't feed them. We've never touched them. We don't plan on touching them, regardless of what happens in the nest this year.
Now, these nests are pretty enormous. Do they come back to the same nest every year, the same eagles?
Yes, they do. They do. And, in fact, it will be the same pair, usually, unless one of them happens to succumb to some sort of a, you know, get hit by a car or, you know, they hit power lines, they die of lead poisoning. There's all kinds of natural threats out there. And if something happened to one of the parents, the other one would hang around the nest. They hang around their nest, and they're more territorial about the nest itself than they are about their partner, so to, you know, per se. So they'll hang around there and wait for another bird to fly by and then sort of call to it. And they have their special language that they call to each other, and then another one would probably come in and take over.
I've seen nests, you know, even larger than this, and they must just build more and more every year. They add on to the nest. Is that how that works?
They do. They do. In fact, so much so that, you know, the nest may eventually fall out of the tree, and that does happen, mm-hmm. particularly because during the fledging season, or about the time that the birds are getting ready to fledge, unfortunately, it's about our stormiest time of the year. So, you know, lots of winds and tornadoes, thunderstorms, things like that, that they're vulnerable to, and the nest, you know, they've been known to fall, but they do. They bring new sticks in, and that's how you can tell that it's spring. You can see birds of all kinds carrying sticks around. That's what they're doing. They're building nests.
If you just joined us, we're speaking with Lori Nauman. She's a DNR Information Officer for Non-Game Wildlife.
Now, you mentioned, Lori, that they take turns sitting on the eggs, so there's a shared parenting going on between the male and the female. Does one spend more time on the nest than the other?
Yeah, it appears as if the female is spending more time on the eggs, and that she's spending more time with the chicks now. It was pretty apparent that as soon as the first egg hatched, the male started bringing in food like crazy. So that's sort of his job. He goes out and hunts, and he brings back food. But they do still take turns. We've witnessed that a few times, too. In fact, when it was so rainy and cold here yesterday, we had giant snowflakes coming down for a while and rain, and they switched in the middle of that, but they did this pretty dynamic little switch. They, you know, the one came in and nuzzled up against the other one, and they both sort of lifted their wing that was closest to the other one and then just sort of jumped and flipped in the other one, you know, so that they were protecting their young ones from getting wet or cold. So they're being good parents this year. We're very happy about that.
Now, we mentioned earlier that there may be a third eaglet to come out of an egg in the nest. If there gets to be three, or even just the two of them, will they all survive?
Well, our book, you know, History Biology of Bald Eagles, says that it is very rare for three birds to actually fledge. So it's not rare for them to lay three eggs, but it sort of helps ensure that the population is going to continue. So they'll lay three, but three of them actually making it all the way to fledging is pretty rare. So we do want, you know, our listeners to know that there's a possibility that this is when bad things happen in the nest, unfortunately. So they're going to be competing for food amongst the chicks and sometimes even with the parents. I've seen parents in the nest competing for food from each other even. there will be that. And then, of course, there's always a possibility of predators getting into the nest, although eagles tend to be pretty good about protecting their young from raccoons or great horned owls that might get into the nest. But if one of them is smaller and weaker and isn't able to accept food or get its, I mean, they really have to just get their heads and their mouths in there when the parents are feeding and grab the food because there's so much competition. And if one of them can't do that, it may not survive.
Is it usually like steak and potatoes, or what are they having every night?
Well, right now in the nest, we've actually had our fisheries biologists identify the fish that are in the nest, and they're channel catfish. There were at least 3 catfish carcasses in the nest this week, and today I saw one of them bring in a new pigeon carcass. And then, there was another pigeon yesterday, but we've seen things like squirrels and ducks come into the nest. And as the chicks get bigger, the food sort of changes. So, like, the first day that they were feeding the young one, the first 24 hours the young are living off of the moisture and the egg yolk, you know, the what's left in the egg. So they're sort of, you know, eating that, and that's how they survive. And then the first meal is generally sort of that same consistency. So it's real liquidy and real bloody, and it's not pretty. The first time the little one got fed, it was covered with blood because, you know, they were bringing it all this bloody, liquidy stuff. And then the pieces start getting bigger as the birds get bigger.
Can you give folks a little idea just how many people are tuned into this webcam and where they come from?
We know that there have been at least 130 countries have accessed the camera, 130 countries around the world. And that is 185 unique visitors. And unique means unique IP addresses. So if I log in 10 times, it's only going to count me once because I'm at a particular IP address. Mm-hmm. And so that's pretty huge. And at any given time, it depends on what kind of a news story has just played, or depends on a lot of different things. But we've seen 8,000 to 9,000 people viewing at one time.
Wow, that's a lot of folks to be mm-hmm. tuned mm-hmm. in. Man, uh-huh. And you know, we gave the address earlier. Maybe you could do it again. Have you got it in front of you?
I do. It is webcams.dnr.state.mn.us/eagle/.
And that's cams as a plural.
Right.
Webcams.
And an easier way to get there is mndnr.gov. That's our main webpage. And then the slideshow at the top will show the Eagle Cam, too, and they can click on that, and it'll take them to the page.
Okay, so just
mndnr.gov.
Go to the DNR's main page. Go ahead, Anne.
Lori, I had a question. You know, so many people are watching this. How is this getting paid for? I know you and I talked earlier about the tax checkoff. Can you explain a little bit about it?
Sure. So this is funded, the camera and a lot of the equipment and my time and several other staff time is paid for by the checkoff on your tax form. So the little loon on your Minnesota income tax forms as well as your property tax forms, that's what we are funded from, and we are funded 80% from those donations, and they are matched one-to-one by the Critical Habitat Fund, which is where the money goes when you purchase the Critical Habitat license plates. And so we are mostly donations, and that's part of why we did this, to make people more aware of the program and what we do. If you go to our Facebook page or even some of our web pages on the DNR website, you can see that the non-game program has many, many projects. And we fund all kinds of research and land preservation. And, you know, there's a lot of different projects that we work on. So this is sort of a way to raise awareness. And in addition, we have our Minute staff, which is our IT division for the state of Minnesota, has provided a lot of support. We couldn't do this without them. XL Energy provided the bucket truck to help us with installing the camera. So there's a lot of different entities involved, and there's probably 10 people that are working on this all the time. So it seems like it's just a camera in a nest and that, you know, we're watching it and that it kind of runs itself, but it really doesn't. There's a whole lot going on behind the scenes.
Okay, thank you. Good to know.
Sure.
Lori, we want to thank you so much for your time. We've been speaking with Lori Nauman, and she's a DNR information officer, non-game wildlife, and she's right down there in St. Paul. She sits in, and I'm assuming that your office is somewhere near this eagle's nest?
It's within 5 miles.
Okay, not that close, but I imagine you're glued to it most of the day?
Well, we sort of take shifts running the camera, so whenever you see the zooming around or you see someone operating the camera itself, that's either myself or two other of our non-game staff. So we take turns being on camera duty so that we don't all have to be tied to our computers constantly, because we do have other stuff to do.
Well, I'm glad that we caught you when you were not on duty and you're able to join us, and it's been so much fun. Thank you for doing this.
Sure. Thank you for having me. We hope that your listeners enjoy it and learn something from being able to watch.
We're going to keep watching. Thanks, Lori. Good night.
Sure. Thank you. Mm-hmm.